sweetest friends, this year should be a special schus for Yedid Nafshu Rav Ezra Zango Shlita. He and his entire family should have bracha v'hatzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yedeihem. The Gemara and Kiddushin and Tesam at Aleph at the bottom quotes a Mishnah in Kalim in the 25th parak, which actually we very recently learned in our limit of Mishnayos Kalim. So Reish Lakish brings this Mishnah to Kash, ask Kashim Rabbi Yochanan. It says as follows: Kol Kalim Yordim Litein Tumasim B'Machshava Vein Olim Midei Tumasim Ela B'Shuni Mai. So all descend, all utensils descend, in other words, they become susceptible to contracting tuma through thought, and they don't emerge from their tuma except through a physical change. Certain sources of tuma, like an avela, sheretz, convey tuma to susceptible items through physical contact. One such type of susceptible item is a metal utensil. Such a utensil, however, isn't susceptible to tuma until the craftsman has completely fashioned it into its completed form. If it has not yet reached this final stage, i.e., if the design has not yet been engraved on it or it has not yet been sanded down, it can't contract tuma. That's the Gemara in Chulin 25a and b. So the Mishnah here teaches a qualification of this rule. Sometimes an incomplete utensil doesn't actually have to undergo a physical improvement to become susceptible to tuma. It can also reach that status through a uman's, through a craftsman's thought. He mentally decides that he's done, and that completes the utensil. So that's Yerida Lidei Tuma. Rashi, Golmei Kalim, like incomplete Kalim, the Amar Kol Shochtin Kol Shasid Lashif L'Shabitzu L'Garer, if the person intends to sand it down, to smooth it down, V'Amar Hasim Da'kati Chisaron Malacha Uvit Tahorim, and there's a lax Malacha, it's still Tahor, V'im Chishev Alesh L'Lashif, if he thought that he's not going to do anything else, that's it. It's a gemar malacha. But they don't emerge from their tuma except through a physical change. Rashi says, the Shabbat Ulagarer. They only emerge from their tuma through a physical change. So this Mishnah, says Rashi, is speaking both of Kalim that have already become tame, Vein Olami Tomasa Misha Kibluha, they've already become tame, and even of those that have merely become susceptible to becoming tuma, to becoming tame. So both revert to their previous state only if they undergo a physical change. In the case of a kekli that already became tame, the physical change has to damage the item. Shiyasiba maisa shiyaklakalkalem shiyashabrem o yanakvem. So you have to actually destroy it. V'chein ad shelo yakablu tuma. And before there's a Kabbalah's Tuma, Ein Olam Mitaras Kabbalah's Tuma, Shiyadu Machshav Azu, Ela B'Shinui Maisi Atshrela Shuf L'Shabetu L'Garer. In the case where the utensil already became, the case where the Kli has just become susceptible to Tuma, then you just have to improve it, sand it, decorate it, do something. So again, we have a rule. How does it become susceptible to Tuma? Just with a Machshava that you're finished. How does it become unsusceptible to tuma? Depends. If it already became tame, you have to break it, smash it. If it didn't become tame, it just became roy lekabel tuma, then you have to do a maisa of sanding it down or something like that. Ad kan midivrei katzil shel Rashi. And the kasha is, asks Moreno Hagon Rav Nosson Zatzal in his Nosson Pirio, we're going to be going on his derech, why when it was already makabel tuma, you have to be makalkel it, you have to destroy it, but if it wasn't yet makabel tuma, it just has Torah's Kabbalah's tuma, it's just fitting to be makabel tuma, you don't have to destroy it, you just have to rub it down, you just have to do some maisa to improve it. Why don't we say the same thing? When it already became tuma, do a maisa to improve it, and that's enough. Why do you actually have to smash it? Why is there a difference between when it was already makabel tuma or when it only had Torah's Kabbalah's tuma? Why the difference? That's our kasha. And l'chora we can say pashut. That it says that a kli is olam mitumaso aidei shvira, we learn this from Gzeiras HaKosuv. Kli cheres shenitma va'oso tishbaru. Parsha Shmini 11:33. And it also says, Betana v'kurayim yudatz, verse 38. So it's mashma that a kli tame only has tyra b'shvira, you have to smash it. In the Sefer Aruch HaShulchan al Rambam in Hilchos Kelim, he writes that Shvira b'kli tame we learn from kli cheres, Gzeiras HaKosuv. So if the kli already became tame, you have to smash it. That's the Gzeiras HaKosuv. But when it just is roy l'kabel tuma, there you can purify it by merely smoothing it down, decorating it, doing some sort of improvement. And then you show that it's not finished yet as a kli. And you don't actually have to break it. However, it's not so pashut. Here we have a bumba kasha. In Yevamos it says, Hakol modim beba'al asota she'ein avlad mamzer. Everybody agrees that if somebody has bia, the husband is this somebody, has bia with his sota wife, the child is not a mamzer. We're talking here about an eshes ish who is mizane. She's not allowed to sleep with her husband anymore. Now her husband goes back to sleep with her, and they have a child. This child is not a mamzer. And even though Rabbi Akiva holds that there's a mamzer b'chaybe lavin, and she's a chaybe lav, nevertheless, Vlad Shot is not a mamzer. Why? Zok the Gemara, this is Yevamos, verse page 49a, Deha tafsik ba kedushin li'isha zu. Because this woman has tefisas kedushin, because even after she was mizana, her first kedushin has not yet gone away. It didn't unravel her first kedushin. Since it didn't unravel her first kedushin, it shows that now there's tefisas kedushin. This woman could be married by this man. They're already married, but in theory, if they would need to get married, there is tefisas kedushin in this woman. How do you know there is Tefisas Kedushin in this woman? Because her original Kedushin hasn't gone away. So since there's Tefisas Kedushin, the child is not a mamzer. Because that's what determines whether or not the child is a mamzer, if there's Tefisas Kedushin. And here there is Tefisas Kedushin, and Mimela, the child, is not deemed a mamzer. Explains the Avnei Miluim in Simen Chai in Sif Aleph that since a sota requires a get min haTorah ki matza be'erav azdavar mukasev sefer krisus, it says he found something in her that was erva, and therefore he writes for a sefer krisus. So it's muchach delo paki kedushin rishonim. Since a sota requires a get min haTorah, and the Kedushin doesn't just go away, it must be, and since she requires a get min haTorah, it must be the Kedushin doesn't just disappear. And if we say that there's no Tefisas Kedushin by a Sota, then the original Kedushin should have gone away when she becomes a Sota. But we know that the original Kedushin doesn't go away because she requires a get. And if she requires a get in order to divorce her, then it must be the original Kedushin doesn't go away. So those two things go together. If there wouldn't be Tfisas Kedushin by a Sota, then the original Kedushin would automatically dissolve. We know the original Kedushin automatically did not dissolve because she needs a get. But if there would be no Tfisas Kedushin in a Sota, in his Sota wife, then that would mean that the original Kedushin would dissolve. We see from Rashi a big yesod. And therefore, and if there's no tfisis, and if there is tfisis kedushin, which we see by the fact that the kedushin doesn't dissolve, then the child's not a mamzer. But we see yesod in Rashi. And that is that when there's no tfisis kedushin, when there's no marriage, even if the original kedushin was done properly, the Kedushin are going to go away. In other words, Rashi holds, and this is the Yesod HaDvarim, that we learn Hafkoas Chalos Mimenias Chalos. In other words, if there is a reason that prevents a new Chalos, a new change in halachic status, that very Siba is also going to be mafkia, to dissolve on already existing chalos. Since if her being a sota would mean that there is no tfisis kedushin, if her being a sota would mean that her husband could no longer theoretically marry her, if she be usher to him, there'd be no tfisis kedushin. That would also mean that it dissolves its mafkia on already existing kedushin. So here, self, it's not mafkia. She requires a get. So there's no Afkas Kedushin. Since there's no Afkas Kedushin, there's also Tfisis Kedushin, and Mimela, the child's not a Mamzer. But if there would be a Hafkascha, if there would be a Minias Chalos, it would mean that there's no Kedushin, Kedushin isn't Tophase, that would also mean there's a Hafkas Chalos, that the original marriage is dissolved. If there's a Siba that prevents a new chalos, that very same siba is going to dissolve an already existing chalos. So if there was no tfisis kedushin in a sota, that would mean that the original marriage is dissolved. From the fact that a get is required, that means the original marriage isn't dissolved. That means there is tfisis kedushin. And memela, the child, is not a mamzer. And this is discussed beautifully by Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Asvin Doiraisa in Klal Tes. And hopefully we would like to be Marich in his Rayas, beautiful Rayas also. It's Mamish Gevaldik. Okay, but that's the Yisod, that we learn Hafkoas Chalos, the dissolving of a Chalos, from the prevention of that Chalos in the first place. That if there's no Chalos in the first place, that means it already dissolves on already existing Chalos. So now we have Akasha. Rashi writes that a kli that already became tameh only becomes tar if you break it. It's not enough to smooth it down and show that you're not finished working with it yet. But wait a second, why don't we learn hafkas chalos and minias chalos? Since we see that if he started smoothing it down, that prevents the tumah from being chal on the kli in the first place. So memela, that should also be mafkia the kedushin, the kedushin, the tumah. Since smoothing it down is moinea chalos tumah from being chal in the first place, it doesn't allow the tumah to come. So it should also dissolve an already existing tumah. Should also undo bimafki an already existing tumah, just like by kedushin we find that we learn hafkas chalos from anias chalos, what prevents it in the first place, also dissolves it if it already exists. So to hear by tumah, we should say that just like lashuf, smoothing it down, shaving it down, showing you're not finished yet, is monea chalos tuma, it should also be mafkia chalos tuma, it should also undo an already existing tuma, just like it prevents tuma from being chal in the first place, from being roi lekabel tuma, it should also undo an already existing tuma. And that is a bomba. I love that kasha. I saw this on Leil Shabbos and I was so excited. I kissed the paper on which it was written. My wife asked me what I was so excited about. I told her that it was October 16th, 51 years exactly from the day that the New York Mets won the World Series, 1969. It's the anniversary. I had brought that up at some point, unfortunately, for better or for worse, during the Seuda, but I eventually told her it's because I love Rav Nosson. I love Rav Nosson. So that's the kasha. Das ist unsere kasha. What are we going to do with this kasha? So what we're going to do with this kasha is moiridike yourself, and then farenfer the kasha. Why is it that Rashi holds that you learn hafkas chalos from anias chalos? Why is it that you learn that you can dissolve something in the same way that it prevents an already existing status? If something will prevent something from coming into effect in the first place, can also dissolve that same status. So we can explain it based on the Gemara in Chulin on page 67b. Darna de Bisra Suri de Kavra Sharian explains the Rambam, chapter 2 of the laws of forbidden foods in the 17th halacha, that toloim, that worms that are created, that are formed in the flesh of a slaughtered animal are usser. But worms that are in fish are mutter. If you find worms inside of fish, mutter. It's a big, big, big discussion today. Not to get into it. It's a huge discussion. Halacha l'maisa. Maybe for other shiurim. Explains the Rav HaMagid, B'tam HaDavar, that Basar Behema is only permitted with Shechita, and therefore the Toloim that come out are Aser, because on the Toloim there is no Heter Shechita. Dagim don't need a Heter Shechita, and therefore anything that comes from it is Mutter. L'chora, this is difficult. What is the difference between Basar that was Nishchat and Dagim? Basar that was slaughtered is like Dagim, because after Shechita there's no Iser. So just like toloim that are found in fish are mutter, why don't we say toloim that are found in shechted meat are also mutter? In the same way, we're matir toloim. We should also be of the fish, because fish don't require shechita. We should be matir the toloim of basar, which do require shechita, but once you did the shechita, it's matir. It's mutter. Explains Rabbi Abraham Borenstein in his classical treatise, the Avnei Nezer, in Orach Chaim, number 483, in Yeshivish, in Simen Tov Pei Gimel, explains as follows: that a behema, even after Shechita, the toloim are usher. It's not because it's like regular food. Shelo Neser Me'olam. No. But rather, you always need a heter of shechita. And since since it was shechted one time, the shechita is a heter nimshach. It's as if every second it's getting a new heter. Every second there's a new shechita. So when you eat this meat, it's like it just got a new heter shechita. But the tolaim shebabasar, for them the shechita is not effective. They were never permitted by the shechita. When you have meat, the meat has a heter shechita. The tolaim in the meat never got that heter shechita. And he says that this heter shechita is a heter nimshach. So there he expands on this idea, why you need a heter nimshach. And so too, in the Sefer Zer Avram, Avram of Agon Rav Nachum Zemba, in the Simen Beis and Os Yud Gimel. Also, same idea. But in fish, you don't need a heter shechita. So it turns out that the tolaim, which grew inside the fish, they grew beheter, and they're permitted. Meat requires, and what's inside the meat requires a heter shechita, and the tolaim never got that heter. Tolaim don't have a heter shechita. But when it comes to dog doesn't need shechita. And therefore, whatever grows inside the dog is considered part of the dog, and it's permitted even without shechita. But what grows inside the animal, that's not permitted because animals require a heter shechita, and what grew inside the animal didn't have the heter shechita. So if shechita would just make it like regular food that you're allowed to eat, so then the shechita would help for the tolaim. But that's not what shechita does. It has to have a shem shachut. It's not like food that never became aser. You always need a heter shechita. So since it was shechted once, you always have this heter shechita. But the tolaim never got the heter shechita. And therefore, in basar, it's going to be aser. And the Avnei Nezer brings a raya for this from Menachas, Daf Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph, that shechted meat, which get mixed in with nevela meat, is batel b'nevela, and it has a din nevela. So the Avnei Nezer asks, where do you find in bitel barov that the shame rov is chal on the miut? Mechi tesi that a shchuta now gets a din nevela. Mela say it's aser, but that it has a shem nevela? So he explained that mitzvah shechita that's done in the basar is matir it always. And when the shechuta is betela b'nevela, it means that there's a siluk shem hamiyut. In other words, we're mevatel the heter shechita. It had a heter shechita, but now it loses its heter. Once it loses its heter, it automatically goes back to being a nevela. Normally it doesn't get the shame of the rov, but here it gets the shame of the rov because it no longer has its heter shechita. But when it comes to fish doesn't need a heter shechita. So just like the fish is permitted, once you eat the fish doesn't require shechita. So just like the fish is permitted, so too the worm inside the fish is permitted. So now we can say that just like shechita is a heter nimshach, it's like it's nishchat kol rega, it always requires this heter shechita. So by the way, this word, as an aside, is also, it's a Rav Nachum Zemba vort, and it's an Avnei Nezer vort, and it's a Rogatchover vort. And it's Safnas Panech, Madura Tinyana. Also the Kli Chemda brings this down and he writes a Davar Nifla. It's brought in the footnotes of the new Zer Avram, which came out in Parashas Re'eh, Osvav, Sifkat and Vav, Ayin Sham and the Kli Chemda. So you have these great Gaone Poland who aren't mamish in Russia telling us this big yisod. Okay, so now we can say that just like shechita is a heter nimshach and it's like it's nishchat kol rega, so kudushin is a heter nimshach, and when she's miskadeshes pam achas, it's like this kedushin is now continuing every minute. It's not like a one-time thing and then it's over. It's a constant renewal of the kedushin. So also a famous yisod that kedushin is a davar nimshach, that the Ragachava talks about this idea. Kedushin or Nesuim, one of them, he says, is nimshach. So now we can understand the svar of Rashi. Rashi says you learn hafkas chalos from anias chalos in kedushin. That since the chalos kedushin is a heter nimshach, and it's as if he's mekadesh or anew every minute. So if there's a siba through which the kedushin shouldn't be chal, if there is a reason that kedushin won't be chal in the first place, that also causes the dissolving of the kedushin. Because if it could prevent kedushin from being chal in the first place, and kedushin is a chalos that's mitmashech, that is constantly being renewed, so the moment you say that it causes it, that this reason causes that kedushin can't be chal, so it will also dissolve the kedushin. Because every second it's chal anew. Every second there's a new chalos kedushin. So memela, by saying that this siba is monea the chalos kedushin, you're also saying that it dissolves an already existing kedushin. So therefore, by sota, if you're going to say that there's no tfisis kedushin for an isha sota with her husband, then you're also saying that it's mafkia the already existing kedushin. In the end, there is a, it's not mafkia the already existing kedushin, so you know that there is tfisis kedushin, and therefore the child's not a mamzer. But if it would prevent the tfisis kedushin, if it would dissolve the already existing kedushin, then it would also prevent the tfisis kedushin, because it's really one and the same. Because kedushin is a davar nimshach, so from the fact that she needs a get, what do you have to say? You have to say that the kedushin isn't dissolved, and if kedushin isn't dissolved, there's no afkas kedushin. It means that there's also tfisis kedushin. And therefore the child's not a mamzer. But that's only when it comes to kedushin. Because, and the chalos heter of shechit and kedushin is done by the gavra, the shochet and the makadish. There we can say it's like they're doing it every second, because he could do it again now. So therefore, this maisa heter is nimshach tamid, because he could theoretically constantly be makadish her again and again and again. So it's a chi of nimshach. Again, this is in the Ragachava, he discusses this. He has a chapter called Pu'ula Nimsheches, where he talks about all the various things that are Pu'ulos Nimshechos. And in the Nosan Pirio on Bava Kama, Rav Nosan has this massive sefer on Bava Kama, mamish unbelievable, over 750 delicious pages. So he discusses this there as well. And the many, many other sources talk about the Shechita being a Heter Nimshach and Kedushin and various other things. So you can say that about, so that would explain the Svar and Rashi. That the Svar and Rashi that you learn, the Hafkas chalos from Anias chalos is because, just like every second you need a new chalos. So if it's something as a sibas monea chalos, it's also mafkia chalos. It prevents it from being chal in the first place. It also dissolves what already exists, for the very simple reason that even though it already exists, it has to be renewed every moment. So that applies to kedushin, obviously, as we see from Rashi, as Rashi would imply, and that applies to shechita, as the Avnei Nezer says, and the Ragachover and the Rav Nachum Zemba. However, you can't say that about Kabbalah's Tumah. Kabbalah's Tumah doesn't require Pula's Gavra. that even if the kli was no gea betuma meyelav, ukagon sheruach efriach as hakli al sheretz, gamke nitma kli. And it must be that it's not shaykh by tuma to say that it's a chalos din nimshach. Doesn't have to be that the person did it. When can you say it's a davar nimshach? When a person can theoretically do it again and again. But tumah happens automatically. So it's not tallowing the person. Tumah could be even automatically, even without a person. Even if the wind did it. So tumah is not a davar nimshach. Tumah is a one-time occurrence. And that explains Rashi beautifully. Because Rashi writes that a kli shenitma ain ola mitumasu ala b'shevira. So you're going to say, wait a second, just like starting to smooth it down is monea kabbalas tuma, let's say it's also mafkia kabbalas tuma. No, you need a lot more to be mafkia the already existing tuma, because the whole vort of being learning hafkas chalas from nias chalas is only by kedushin, which is a heter nimshach. It's only by shchita, which is a heter nimshach. But Tumas Kli, which is not a heter nimshach, which is not a davar nimshach, so even if you say that rubbing it down will prevent the original chalos, but that's not strong enough to remove already existing tumah. It's not mafki on already existing chalos, because once it's already tameh, it's tameh. So smoothing it down is going to be enough. You have exeris hakasiv there, that you have to destroy it. There you have exeris hakasiv to destroy it. So to be monea chalos, there it's enough. You just start smoothing it down, you start adding a decoration, whatever it is. That's monea the chalos. But in order to be mafkia the chalos, for that we have exeris hakasiv, that you need more. You need even to destroy it. So if tumo was a pool in emsheches, every second anew, then there'd be a svara to compare the two. And you would say what's needed for this is what's needed for that. And if to be mafkia, mafkia chalos, you needed to break it, then you would say also to be monea chalos, now you need to break it. Because they're the same. They're both new chalos, and both what already exists and what hasn't yet come to exist. But tuma is not a pulenim sheches. Putum is not a davar chadash. So you can't compare hafkas chalos to minias chalos. To be monea chalos from being chal in the first place, from preventing of being chal in the first place, that's there. It's enough lashuf. There it's enough to smooth it down. But if it already exists, the tum already exists, there you can't say, oh, It's a pool in Amshechas. Every second there's a new tumah. So now all I have to do is rub it down and I'm monea the new tumah. No. It's not a pool in Amshechas. And there we have Xeris HaKosah that you have to break it. Advarim Niflaim. And please God, we will expand on this B'li Neder in future Shi'urim. I hope so. Shalom, Sweetest and most beloved.